I'd be like, where's the nuclear codes? I'm about to give fucking Russia the what for. Like, if nobody else is there, I'm just setting off nuclear bombs.
Give it the what for.
Welcome back to Barstool Confessions. We're getting going with another week, and today is brought to you by our good friends at Manscaped. I already know that you have your dick shaved, John, right?
No, not true. I've been on the road a little bit, and I forgot my Manscaped, and I'm in dire need. I'm in dire need of a little trim job.
You know what I'm addicted to? I don't think it's an ad for that, but the little nose clippers and the ear clipper thing that you can like stick in your nose. I love doing that. Almost every time I get out of the shower, I'm like, oh, got to clean this up too. It's become part of my routine. I don't want long nose hairs.
It's never something I noticed, like nose hairs and stuff, until the mustache came into play. And then they kind of get entangled. Mm-hmm. So my mustache nose will get up into my mustache hairs will get into my nose. And then it's so itchy. And I start, and not itchy, ticklish. And I start kind of pulling them out. And it's, you got to have that. Again, I don't think this is the ad for that, but Manscaped has that too. They got everything for you.
And you got to keep your mustache trimmed too, because you know, like now, like with the smoothies and videos that you do, it's funny. But if you're going out to eat with your family, like every time I eat ice cream, my family's like, you're disgusting. You just have ice cream all over your mustache.
I'm just eating breakfast. I have like 5 napkins with me because I have to wipe it all the time.
And you know, it's not clean. You can't wipe hair. Like, you're just taking off the main portion of it. It's still gross.
If someone dumped a bucket of yogurt on your head, you couldn't just take a towel to clean it off.
You're like, oh, shit. Oh, no, I'm good. No, it's fine. It's totally fine now. If you want to get with Manscaped, make sure you go to manscaped.com. Enter the promo code Confessions. You're going to get 20% off with free shipping. That's manscaped.com. With free shipping, they have LED lights on it, so you can even shave your dick in the dark. It'll go 7,000 RPMs. That's a strong motor. It might even power a boat. Don't quote me on that. But with 4,000K LED spotlights, you can see every little nick and cranny on those testicles because they're looking like a topographic map. There's no doubt about that. Go to manscaped.com, promo code for Confessions for 20% off and free shipping. Johnny boy, you are having a lovely view, little river behind you. I'm jealous. You're out there. Your blonde hair is looking fantastic.
Just hanging out.
Already put the cover on the pool, huh?
Yeah, the parents put it on really. I'm at my parents' house, obviously. They put it on really. I think it was last weekend, which I asked my dad about it, and he's like that. Because also, to be fair, my sister is getting married here next weekend, and I think that was kind of a play, being like, we don't need a bunch of drunk people jumping in the pool in their clothes and shit like that.
You know, I'm gonna say that's fair.
Yeah, I think that played a hand in what time the pool got covered up, but yeah, I was a little disappointed. I just came up here last night. I posted about it on Instagram, but I was at a Team Impact Gala last night. If you don't know what that charity is, it's very, very cool. I recommend checking it out. They take kids with chronic and severe diagnoses, and they put them on teams that they would have never had, and they were an athletic or college teams to kind of get that sense of camaraderie. It's really, really cool. But that's not what we're here to talk about. But check it out anyway. Chaps, before we get into religious stuff,
okay,
I got two things for you. One, right. are you still in the midst of your PB&J run?
Oh, I'm big time in it. And not, I don't know if there's going to be an end in sight, because just like Barstool's fans are so great, because if you start talking about something that's a little off the beaten path and other folks are interested in it, they will send you that shit. Like, I was on a big time... I had mentioned that I never had Vermont syrup or New Hampshire syrup straight from there, where it's like pure and they have all these different farms where they're making the apple cider donuts and all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Next thing you know, I have like 15 jars of syrup from different farms across Vermont that are coming in. Same thing happened with honey. I talked about honey and now I have a bunch of honey. People are sending me their jams from like Wisconsin and Minnesota. Somebody yesterday in the mail, I got tangerine jam.
Tangerine jam. Now, I don't know if I'd like that so much.
Buddy, let me tell you, it is fantastic.
Really?
It brightens it up.
I go on those runs as well. I'm not on one currently, but I'm also, and that's kind of what I wanted to ask you about, if there are other foods you go on runs for, because I'm in the midst of a separate run.
Oh.
But I was gonna, I was on a PB&J run probably last time I was at my parents' house, which I don't know, let's call it 2 months ago. And they ran out of, or I ran out of, raspberry preserves. That's what I do. I do peanut butter and raspberry preserves are my favorite. But they ran out of that. So they had orange preserves in the fridge, and I tried that, and I didn't care for it. Now, a tangerine preserve is different than that?
I'm not sure if it's so different. I think it's just the way that it's made, because I was hesitant too, because overly sweet orange things, I'm not down. Like the little orange gummies that are kind of hard, that have the, I don't really like that. That's too orange and sweet for me. I like orange with a little bit of kick because the acidity. Like that's why people get grossed out when I post that I like chocolate chip cookies with orange juice, because the orange juice acidity cuts right through the sweetness of the chocolate, and it doesn't let it linger on your head forever.
I don't think I'm coming with you on this journey. I'll tell you, I follow the logic. I just refuse to accept it. It
is. Yeah. And I don't think anybody else does.
I'm taxer with this. We're like, I get the science behind it, but I'm just not doing it.
Every time I do it, my wife's like, you are disgusting. Why are you doing it? You make me not want to make cookies, because I'll do it with like brownies and shit too. Or if I go to the gas station and get a candy bar, I'll get an orange juice or a grapefruit juice too to go with it.
Now, do you, obviously you're doing orange juice with cookies and things like that. Are you doing orange juice or something like that with a PB&J?
So I go tea with PB&J. I love tea. Yeah. Not like hot tea, but like this kind of tea, like the Gold Peak tea. I like that. Either that, or I'll go with the chocolate milk.
Okay. Chocolate milk I can get down with. Because I think milk is far and away the beverage to have with a PB&J. A milk and a PB&J is... I don't know if it's a nostalgia play or if it's just reminding you of childhood and sitting in the park or, you know, being at recess or whatever. But a milk and a PB&J, I think milk and peanut butter and jelly go together better than peanut butter and jelly.
That's quite the take. And I have a take for you too. On ZBT, I make the promise to the listener that I'll never run. I'll make the promise to the listener here on Confessions, I'll never drink regular milk. I hate it. It doesn't chocolate milk. I do like chocolate milk, but milk for me, I just have never enjoyed. Even as a kid, my mom couldn't force me to drink milk. I just didn't like it. And the idea of being an adult man breastfeeding off of a cow is gross to me.
Bro, I love milk. I drink milk all the time. And this is a thing that my mother, who is the person who instilled the idea of milk in me as a young person, she's now become a little more foofy with what she eats and what she hits me with that line regularly. You know, we're the only animal that drinks the milk of another animal.
Exactly right.
The only species. Chaps, we're the only species that does so many goddamn things. Mm-hmm. So maybe we're doing something right. How about that? Maybe everyone else is wrong. We're the only species that drives cars. We're the only species that flies in airplanes. We're the only species that does science and math and builds dams and skyscrapers and all kinds of things that other species can't do. So maybe we're the ones in the lead and we're making the most sense.
Do you think milk is the catalyst for that?
I think there's an argument to be made that we're the only ones doing the smart stuff.
I gotta say, you have a much more scientific ability to prove your theory that milk causes us to be able to drive cars and build skyscrapers, because I can't go conversely and say, no, if a monkey drank milk, it could do it, because we just don't do that. I don't think a monkey would even drink it. I would like to see that. Do they do that? Do, like, at the zoo, does the zookeeper ever walk up to a gorilla and he's like, hey, you want a PB&J with some milk? You want this? Yeah, I got some.
I mean, I do it with my dog, right?
Yeah, but milk usually gives dogs diarrhea. It doesn't sit with them.
Yeah, I don't do it with milk specifically, but I do it with all kinds of foods, you know. I don't give it just dog food. I give Maddie all the food she wants.
Yeah, I used to be big time because I was a dog handler. Big time not feeding the dog at the table, not giving them people scraps and things like that. It's bad for their teeth. Hard dog food is the best thing the dog can eat because it's great for their teeth. But because Gus is 9 now, I fucking sneak Gus shit all the time, dude. Like if I'm cooking chicken breast on the grill, I'm throwing two on for Gus. Like he's getting some chicken. maybe Dale will get some every now and then too. Like he'll get like a little half a piece of chicken or something like that. But Gussie Boy from heaven above, he gets big time treats now.
Maddie, come here. You want some chicken? Yeah, see what we got right here. Come
here. There we go. Maddie's loving some chicken. Yeah. There you go.
Okay, nice. So that brings me, this all brings me to my one of my questions is, do you go on runs of other foods? Like, what are your big food runners?
I'm
right now, I'll tell you what I'm on, which is, I don't know if it's weird, but I don't think it is. I'm on a run of pudding.
Oh yeah, you could do a pudding run. You could definitely do a pudding run. Now, what kind of pudding we talking about? Because there's pudding to me. Most folks like the pudding pack with chocolate. What's your go-to?
I'm a chocolate. I got, so back at home, I have just chocolate Swiss Miss, and then at my parents' house right now, I got the Jell-O with the Jell-O chocolate pudding. With the white, what's, I forget what the thing, the white stripe in the middle is.
Oh yeah, like the I know exactly what you're talking about. The three different layers of it, where it's like chocolate, vanilla, chocolate.
Yes.
But I forget what it's called. I'm a straight vanilla guy. Like I don't like vanilla on almost anything else, but the vanilla pudding is so good. You could definitely do I might join you on a pudding. Right? My goodness.
Now what I do here too, it's not just I don't do normal pudding. I go, so we get my pudding pack, and then I scoop out a one large bite. Mm-hmm. I have one big bite, just pudding, bang, whack that down. Then I have chopped up strawberries,
And
I put them in that little hole.
You're romancing yourself a little.
And then whipped cream on top.
Whoa, that's a fancy snack.
Yeah, it's delicious. I wake up in the middle of the night, Chaps, like I sleepwalk and do it. I wake up, that's not a lie at all. I wake up in the middle of the night and I go, in the morning I'll wake up and there will be two empty pudding packs in my trash and I will have no recollection of eating them.
That's fine. I think that's a good run. That's a good sign that you're on a run when you're eating and you don't even realize it. Sometimes I'll just put my hand in my pocket and there'll be a PB&J in there. I'm like, how'd that get in there? But I think, what about this? Imagine you come over to my house and we're going to watch the game together or something. I have your normal chips and nachos that are out. I have cheese. It's got chorizo. It's all chopped up in there. It's going to be a great little dip. We're going to put some pico de gallo in there. So I have the regular nachos going on. What if I also had a dessert nachos? Hear me out. Where it's just a big bowl of pudding. And then around the bowl of pudding, I've put Bischoff cookies. I've put chocolate chip cookies. I've put some Oreo cookies. And we're using the cookies as the chip for the pudding dip salsa.
Yeah, let me tell you what. You do something like that, a new roommate, brother. I'm staying in the house.
That would be incredible, just to have a bunch of folks just over. Other runs that I've gone on, I've been on huge chicken wing runs, like just where it's just an ungodly amount of chicken wings. And one of my more favorite runs that I went on, I've only done it once. You know, when you go to the grocery store and by the checkout, they'll have like the French bread that's fresh from the bakery.
Uh-huh. It's
still like kind of warm. I'll buy one of those and a Coke and just eat the whole loaf in the car. Like while I'm driving around, I'll just eat the whole loaf of bread.
That's a Portnoy run. Portnoy went on one of those runs with a French baguette for lunch every day for about 3 years before I looked like he did.
Oh, that's a good run. That's a 3-year run. That's a long run.
He was, do you not remember that? He was doing that in Milton.
That was when he, the fat picture, when he was leaning over to say hello to the little girl.
Yeah. Almost as if there's something unhealthy about eating a loaf of bread at lunch every day for years on end.
Wasn't it French bread? Like, didn't he do it like garlic bread too? Like he would heat it up with like garlic and all kinds of shit on it too?
I think it was just the baguette. I could be wrong. I don't have a great memory of it, but I think Gaz would just pick it up at Panera, just a full baguette.
We need to have a runoff, like do a quiz of everybody, like the Viva account needs to go through, like what's the most famous food run that you've ever been on, and then judge who's had the best run.
You know, one I do, this is a run I've been on for years now, every night, bag of frozen Sour Patch Kids. But the
have you have go, a, the roof of your mouth not being absolutely destroyed. It must feel like leather. Like, it must be like a catcher's mitt behind your teeth.
it's not good. I'll say that. It's not good. But the one I go on, and this I won't classify it as a run, I don't think, but I'll call it a sprint, because I'll whack down a whole box and then I'll probably go without for a while and then I'll go down a whole box in a night, is either popsicles or fudgicles.
Yeah, those can go either way for me. I'm not usually a big popsicle guy, but I do like the push-up pops. Like if I get into those and those are in the fridge, I'll just grab a couple and go downstairs. Like I know I'm just going to power through like five or six. And I think the best part about being an adult, no one is going to be like, didn't you already have a green one today? You can't have another green one. I can have as many green ones as I want because I paid for them.
I pay for this house. I pay for these popsicles, and I can do whatever I like here.
That's exactly right. Last night, my wife is very cognizant of me not being able to sleep. So she usually wants me to cut off my caffeine intake at like 2 o'clock. Well, yesterday we had a delightful dinner. I don't even remember what it was, but I was very excited about it. It looked delicious. Oh, it was, we made from scratch, like chicken tender sandwiches, like you would get at like a Zaxby's. And she made the chicken tenders and they were so and we had Hawaiian rolls that we put it on, pepper jack cheese and a little bit of spicy mustard. And then she made curly fries that went along with it. And I looked over, I was like, I'm having fucking two Dr. Peppers with this shit. And she was like, are you insane? It's 6:45. And I was like, I know, I'm not gonna be able to sleep a wink, but it's gonna be a delicious dinner.
It was. Have a Thursday night. Yeah.
I know.
Doctors put me to bed.
Oh man, I was up till like 10:45. It was fucking insane. It was absolutely insane. All right, so that's the first question. What's the other one?
What do you think I'm eating right now?
Oh, I love this game. I should have been paying attention. I saw you take a couple bites. I'm gonna go with
bowl.
So you said chicken. Are we doing chicken salad? Is that what you're eating?
No, I'm just eating a bowl of chicken and bean soup. And I'm wondering, I don't like, so this is, it's breakfast time for me. I woke up, kind of hung out for a little bit. I worked out a little bit, no big deal. Whoa. Had my smoothies. And then, so it's breakfast time, but I don't like breakfast. So is it bizarre to, my mom made a bunch of chicken and bean stew last night. And I just warmed it up and I'm just eating chicken and bean stew for breakfast.
No,
I do not follow the timelines about when I'm supposed to eat stuff. I eat what I want, when I want, much like you drink what you want, when you want, Dr. Pepper time.
What's this? What's the temperature outside that you got, that you're working with right now?
Right now, it is my parents just moved here, so I actually don't have it in my weather app. Give me a moment. I'm going to figure it out real quick.
Okay. Looking it up.
73.
I think you're, oh, that's borderline. Like, I think it, with soup, it's a little bit warm. I think if you're in the 60s at all, you're totally fine. 73, as long as there's a breeze, and there is, I could see it kicking through your hair a little bit. There's a little bit of a breeze. I think that you're okay.
I also
don't agree with just breakfast food can only be eaten at breakfast. If I want to have French toast for dinner, I'm going to do that. If I want to have it for lunch, I'm going to do that. One of my favorite breakfasts is Christmas Eve, my wife makes an unbelievable lasagna every single year. I'll wake up Christmas morning, right after the presents are done, I'll slice some, put it in the microwave, and have a little bit of morning lasagna.
Hell yeah. That's what I don't eat breakfast foods for dinner or lunch. I just don't really care for breakfast foods. They're a little too savory for me, right? No, sweet. Sweet and savory?
Yeah, a little bit sweet, typically, because you're going to have like syrup and all that stuff. Now, how do you feel about if it's not that? If it's like biscuits and gravy. I know you went to FSU. I'm sure you probably had some biscuits and gravy in your time. How do you feel about biscuits and gravy?
Yep. I've been to a Perkins or two, and I love biscuits and gravy.
I could go on a biscuit and gravy run too.
they're just, but they're not served regularly up here. It's hard to find a biscuits and gravy spot up here.
Yeah, up there, I would imagine it's not great. It's like finding a good lobster roll down in South. You order lobster roll below, let's say, Virginia. You've got legitimate problems.
I'm actually.
You just can't do it.
Despite, and I might lose my New Englander status over this, I'm actually not a huge lobster roll guy. I think that
not even with the mustard one. I understand the people have aversion to mayonnaise.
I love mayonnaise. I love mustard. I'm good with all. I like it Connecticut style, which is that's heated up. Those are much better. Where it's the toasted bun and hot lobster roll. Maine style's both cold. But I get lobster rolls all the time. All summer I'm eating lobster rolls. I'm very regularly disappointed. Very regular. In fact, the best lobster roll I ever had, and again, New England's going to be mad about this, maybe the best lobster roll I ever had, I forget the name of the restaurant, but it was in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and it wasn't a lobster roll. It was a lobster sandwich. Came on a Hawaiian bun, and it had about two lobsters worth of meat on it, and it was delicious. They usually serve them to you on those garbage little hot dog buns, and I'm just not getting enough meat.
The bun work really needs it's just too small. Like the average American male now, we're powering through those bad boys. And I don't like to order something where I have three or four. It's the reason why I don't get street tacos. It's too much work. Like I only want to begin the process of eating something once. I don't want to do it multiple times. And a lot of times you get your hands. How do you feel about this? Because this is my people in my peanut butter and jelly run. They're constantly saying, oh, you don't have enough jelly on it. It's not enough jelly. I don't like to go to the edge with jelly because I like to view my peanut butter and jelly almost like as a ravioli where I'm going to pinch the outsides and none of the goodness is going to fall out because I don't like jelly. I don't like it's the reason why I like dry wings more than wet. I don't like it with my hands. If I feel like I absolutely have to wash my hands, I get infuriated. I would rather have the option of I'm going to be fine if I wash my hands or not when I'm done with this meal. I don't want to have to go do it.
You know, Chaps, I've been a pretty staunch yet silent critic of your jam spread. Mm-hmm. And I must have missed the explanation, or maybe you didn't explain it so eloquently in a tweet I saw, but I'm completely on your side now. I get that. I like the ravioli viewing. Yeah. It's almost like you're making kind of a homemade Uncrustable there, except with crust on.
Exactly right. And you don't have to worry about that. Like whenever you do it my way, you absolutely don't have to worry about it being messy. Like I could take my peanut butter and jelly, and I've done this, my friend. You know, I text you, I have to go pick up McCartney from school. 3:30 is the perfect time for a PBJ if you're in a PBJ run. It's a lovely mid-afternoon snack. I'll make one. Bring it with me with just a napkin, and I might even bring a Dr. Pepper with me while I go. And I'm driving around eating the peanut butter and jelly, not a care in the world. I'm not worried about it getting on my seats because I made peanut butter and jelly ravioli style.
I always get it on my hand. And then you know what I do too? Because I know how much I like the jelly, and I see it on the plate after it's fallen out the back. And then I try and scoop it up a little bit towards the end. And then it gets all over my hands and it becomes a mess. And then you know what, too? Once it's on the plate and you leave that little smear, you can't just put that in the dishwasher. You got to clean that plate by your hand, because if you put that in a dishwasher, that jelly is going to harden and that's not going to get clean in the dishwasher.
I don't need to do any of that. I just have mine in a napkin. I don't even need to have a fucking plate.
No, you're making sense, friend. You're making sense. I get it.
Yeah. And if you want to take a picture of me while you do it, and then you can get that bad boy painted out with Paint Your Life, because they are sending out all kinds of good deals. You have to see these to believe it. Like if you want to go look at Large's Instagram page, he has it with him and Annie, and it is wonderful. I think he did it for their anniversary, knocked it out of the park. If you want to knock out your gift, because we do have Christmas season, it's going to take a little while for these to get done, not like crazy long, but you want to have 3 weeks at least whenever you're doing, it's a pretty good deal. Get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price just by texting 64,000. You're going to get it that way. You text 64,000 confessions to 64,000 and you're going to get it. Super easy. 64,000. Like you don't even have to remember a website. 64,000.
I know I've said it basically every time we've had this ad read, but it's a no-brainer move to get that. It is. I've done it multiple times. It has never been poorly received. Every single time, they're like, oh my god, this is the greatest present ever.
I know, and they come lovely. I was worried about getting damage in the mail. Came fine.
Yep. Oh, they know how to do it. They're professionals.
Yeah, I guess you should know that. I'm gonna call them up, be like, hey, I know you guys. Listen, this thing's going through the mail. maybe be careful with it. That's all I'm saying. Like it's a little fragile. But these new deliveries at my new house, because my old house, you just walked straight to the door from the street. Like, it's street level. Now you have to go up like a little flight of stairs to get to the main door. These delivery drivers, they don't give a fuck about going up the stairs. They just throw it at the bottom of the stairs. Don't even bring it to the door.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, what are you? Like, I'll go down to go somewhere and I'll be like, oh, well, there's a package around the corner. Why is it here?
Dude, I had a friend years and years ago, this is back in college, when like UPS or USPS, whatever it is, you know, any of those services, FedEx, I forget which one he exactly worked for, but you know, they hire a lot during the Christmas season because there's so many more deliveries and shit like that. And so he got like a part-time gig during Christmas for it. And he was thought, you know, maybe he just cares more than the average delivery man, but he was talking about every day how tired he was from climbing stairs every day. And these guys, they just don't do it anymore, huh?
No, it's the pussification of America. It continues. Like, you can't even bring my dog food up to the door. Very sad.
Make sure you work out, sir.
Now I like it. Obviously, it makes me lazy. Like, why should they have to do it a million times during the day? Kate did that as a UPS driver when she got out of the Marine Corps. During the holiday season, just riding around and throwing packages all over the place.
I could see Kate doing that, ripping cigs.
And loving it, too. Like, just having the best time doing Instagram stories and shit like that, just enjoying herself. So, well, that's a lot of stuff. I wanted to ask you about, are you familiar with the term spiritual gifts?
Spiritual gifts? No, but it reminds me of a phrase I heard last night, if I could... It was actually from, and it makes sense. It was this guy, this man. He was speaking at the Team Impact thing last night. His daughter Maddie is the Syracuse women's lacrosse. She's on that team. She has cerebral palsy, and he gave a great speech. And towards the end, he mentioned that his father was a pastor, which made sense because he was very eloquent and well spoken.
I almost asked you the dumbest question, even though you kind of explained it. And you're like, she was on the Syracuse team. I was like, with cerebral palsy? Like, that's the entire point of your story.
But he was talking about two things. He was talking about resume virtues and eulogy virtues, and I'd never heard it explained like this, where he says, you know, that he lost both his father and his brother last year, and he said that, you know, they were both very, you know, not success, you know, they weren't billionaires, but they were successful. You know, one was father was the preacher, and then the brother was a third grade teacher, I believe. And he was like, you know, but no one mentioned all their accolades and all this stuff. Everyone just, you know, they talked about their eulogy virtues, and he was talking about how we need to have those in life, and they're the most important virtues to have. And I was like, you know what? That's a nice way to put it.
That is like, because you can die and be like, people were like, oh, he was rich, he did this in business, but it would speak volumes about your life if people talked about you and they didn't even mention your money or anything like that. They're just like, this dude was super nice. He was kind to everybody he came across. He was encouraging. That would be great.
Yeah. It's not inventing the wheel. It's a phrase we've heard for a long time. And you know, it's kind of one of those things like, on your deathbed, no one cares about how much money you have, blah, blah, blah. But the way he explained it,
that's drastically not true either. Like, the kids that are supposed to get money, like Bill Gates' kids, are going to be furious whenever he gives it all away.
That is very true. But yeah, I'm sorry, it was spiritual what? That kind of reminded me of those
spiritual gifts. So this is a big thing that, like, is talked about in I would say very conservative circles. Like, oh, my spiritual gift is evangelism, my spiritual gift is helping the poor or something like that. So I wanted to go through a couple. We'll do some this week and do some next week. I want to see if you think that you have some of these. Like, if you're going to have a spiritual gift, is it the first one? So the first one up, and these mostly comes from the work of Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing these letters, the epistles to the different churches around. And I don't know how old I was. I think I was about 9th or 10th grade when I realized that the Bible wasn't written to be like the Bible. Like, Paul didn't know when he was sitting down to write this stuff that this was going to be around for thousands of years.
I think I'm learning that right now. What were they writing down for then?
It was a legitimate letter. Like, what, at the beginning of the book of 1 Corinthians, for example, he says to the church of Corinth. Like, Corinth is a town, and they had a church there that they were meeting up. But because Paul was the apostle and he was giving advice to the church because like he was had divine influence and things like that. The church listened to what he had to say. He was sending out letters. Like when he heard drama was going on in the church, he was like, well, let me write these people and give them some advice. That's how that came about. He would write letters to Titus, and like all the different, the books that Paul wrote, they were letters to specific people or specific churches.
So is that with the whole Bible? If that's all letters from certain people? Like when it says like...
It's a majority of the New Testament. So the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were written to be accounts. And those are called the Synoptic Gospels, where there's essentially four accounts, usually three. Like most like theologians will say it's really the three Synoptic Gospels. And then John is a little bit different. Well, or maybe it's Luke that's different. But either way, those are the stories of Jesus's life, the Gospels. Acts is like what happens right after Jesus goes up to heaven and is the ascension. And then really the rest of it is Paul's letters to certain people with other books like 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation thrown in as well. But a majority of it is letters from Paul to these members of the church.
Huh. Yep. Definitely learning that in the moment as we sit here.
Yeah, so it's like, that's why it's surprising that so much of this doctrine, like to the church's doctrine, is derived from these letters, because they are meant for a specific people at a specific time in history when certain things were going on, and it might not apply now. Like if you brought back Paul, would he say all these same things, or would he look at the American landscape? Like let's say Paul comes to America, would he look at what's going on in America and write a letter that's like, don't be politically divisive, don't have that as your identity in your political parties? Probably so. Like I think like your identity comes from Christ is what I would imagine Paul says now, not your political party.
Okay. I mean, which, but also in a sense that kind of, if your identity comes from Christ, it almost does come from a political party.
What do you mean?
One political party has more largely embraced that.
Yeah, but you could say that it's false too, because you had that with the Pharisees, and that's what Jesus' biggest issue. The religious leaders of the time, the ones that were most outspoken, Jesus was like, you guys are a brood of vipers, which is the most vicious insult that Jesus had in his repertoire. Like if that was basically Jesus being Rome at King of the Dot. He was like, you guys are a brood of vipers, and just laying a mixtape on them and saying, you guys got it all wrong. This is not what it's about.
That's a good point. You're right. You're right there.
All right. So the first one that it comes up is the gift of administration. What do you think that means?
The gift of administration, the ability to do paperwork.
That's what I thought too. Like if you hear that, but it's not. This one is the ability to lead, and it has others where you can carry an idea to a group of people and you can lead them to a goal. Like you can administer a plan and then they will follow you in the plan. Like most pastors and reverends would say that one of their gifts is the gift of administration.
Is that not leadership?
It's basically leadership just called something different. Like you have the ability with this gift, the Holy Spirit enables certain Christians to organize, direct, and implement plans to lead others in various ministries in the church. The gift is related. It's sometimes called the gift of leadership, but the goal or task is also concerned with the details of the organization. So you're leading people in the church. So you have to like create all kinds of different flows and elders and bishops and deacons and all that kind of stuff.
That's an interesting one. That's I feel like calling it the gift of administration is just a confusing way to say leadership.
But if we were doing it now, you could say that the gift of administration, for modern terms, you're being an influencer.
Yeah, I see that. You're 100% right. I was definitely thinking about it that way. My mind had already gone there. And you're asking if we think we have these gifts?
I'm just going to go through them and then we're going to decide. Maybe the listener can decide like which ones they think that we have. I would say you definitely have the administration. You've always been out in the forefront. You're out there. I think that's one that you have for sure. I mean, you sold out your shoes in like 10 minutes.
I disagree with that. I don't think I have it. I think,
and say this is the gift of humility just coming out right here.
I think about it like my mind immediately went to like back in like high school sports when I was a captain. And there, I think I have an ability to create a vibe that either people like or don't. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, if it's administration, it's leadership. If it's like kind of the speeches and the the rah-rahness, I do not think I have that. I think there's maybe something where it's like,
I disagree, my friend. I disagree with that about you, because you have one of those personalities that if I say, let's say I go up to New York and I'm walking through and somebody comes up to me, let's say Big Ev comes up to me and he's like, hey dude, Feidelberg's mad at you. I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, why is he mad? What did I do? Like, if you're mad at somebody, I feel like they know they really messed up, because you usually don't care about a whole lot. And so if you got to the point where you're actually mad at me, I'm like, damn, what did I do to disappoint John? I don't want to do that.
Okay. I'll sign up for that. The gift of apathy, which then in turn, when there's something's gone awry, it's like, oh shit, he cares. That means something's gone really wrong.
Yeah. Like, if you're mad at me, like, I must have really dropped the ball somewhere. All right. The next one, this is kind of related. This is the gift of apostleship. The office of the apostle was held by a limited number of men chosen by Jesus that included the 12 disciples. And the requirement of the office included being a faithful eyewitness of Jesus's ministry and his resurrection and being called to Jesus himself. The apostles were given the authority by Jesus to do different things to establish church, including writing scripture. We definitely don't have that because we didn't witness it. So we definitely don't have the gift of apostleship. It would be sick though. And I would be a way better apostle than all the 12. I mean, Paul is probably pretty good, but the rest of them stunk out loud. Like, the books that they wrote stink. Like, they don't give a whole lot of detail at all. We talked about that last week, where Luke just looks at stuff and he's like, and then he went to heaven and the other guys went back to Jerusalem. That's not enough. If that's your entire thing to be an eyewitness, that's not enough, Luke.
Completely agree with that. I mean, he said two men in white came down, took him to heaven, and and there was no salt baying, not even a little bit.
Nothing. Very disappointing from Luke and the squad.
I also think I'd be a good apostle, and I think that's something we're missing in this world.
Just be podcast people, about it.
we're missing in this world people admitting that they're a better follower than a leader. Everyone's like, no, I'm the man, I'm the leader. Nah, man, I'm good at following. That's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be the fucking the face of everything. I'm okay being in the background doing.
I don't want the responsibility. I don't want to do what Erica does. I don't want that shit. I like doing what I do.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to do her job. The next one, this is a good one. Now we're getting to more that we can actually accomplish. This is the gift of discernment. The spiritual gift of discernment is also known as the discernment of spirits or distinguishing between spirits. The Greek word for this is dikrisis, and the word describes being able to distinguish, discern, judge, or appraise a person, statement, situation, or environment. So basically, you have good what W would call gut. You got to trust your gut. W has a good gut, so he has good discernment. Do you think you have this?
Do I think I have a good gut? Now, that's a double-edged sword. I'm not going to walk through that door despite you opening it. But do I have good gut feel? I think so. You know what? The more I think about this, yeah, I definitely think so, because I think gut is kind of first impression judgings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've long said
intuition
that particularly at Barstool, I have never been wrong about a person. Ooh. Where I've either in the immediate, like, hey, nice to meet you, one up, the ocular pat down, if we can talk like Mac from Sunny.
Yeah.
I haven't been wrong. I'm just like, all right, that person's got it. That person's going to succeed here. Or nope, that person's not going to work out too well here. And in particular, it happened. There are some extreme examples, but the two best were one who no longer works for us. I don't even know what title he ever achieved or established, but we don't speak his name anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one would be a man who sued us. I disliked him, and I thought his time here was going to be so short-lived, and his content did not appeal to me to such a level where he was, you know, people, they tried to push him when he was working here. And I asked Kevin, I was like, can you just do this KFC radio interview alone? I don't even want to be in the room with this guy.
Wow, that's pretty good. And yeah. I agree. When he was hired, I was like, this guy's not going to be here for that long. No, no shot. He's going to say something ridiculous and be gone in a minute. And that's exactly what happened. I think this is probably, of all of them, this is my biggest one that I have. My intuition, whenever something's going on, especially in a stressful moment, I can put aside the stress and analyze things just as well as it's completely calm. Like my, if we're doing like a budget or something, my wife is much more analytical than I am, but if we need to make a decision right now in the moment, I can do that because if, even if I thought about it for a month or 2 months, it's the decision is going to be the same. My initial response is usually correct.
I'm 100% with you. And in fact, I often push, not often, but I regularly push someone else to make a decision. And it's not because I'm indecisive. It's because it's almost like when you let a kid beat you at basketball, where you're like, look, I'm so good at this. I'm so much better to you than this. I'm going to let you have this one. So why don't you choose to read tonight? Because guess what? I've always said that even this, there's so many examples of this. I think I'm the best orderer on the planet.
I'm going to back you up because we've been to bars and stuff together. And sometimes when you order a drink, it's something that I'm not really expecting. And I'm like, damn, that's a good fucking order. And then even once you establish that, you can go in a place and be like, you know what? I think I'm just going to have a bullet on the rocks. And then I'm like, what a fucking classic order that is. My God. Like he's not, there's no fuss in that at all. Once you do something right the first time in that kind of situation, people respect the game.
Yeah, you're very right about that.
It is fucking fantastic when you do that. this one, the gift of encouragement. So we have the gift of encouragement. You can beseech, extort, or call upon and encourage and strengthen people. You are like Barnabas who is Paul's buddy, where you are able to just encourage people and glorify them and build them up and make them feel better about themselves.
Absolutely. This is another one.
Gas Me Up Award, the Gas Me Up Daddy gift.
I got a lot of spiritual gifts. I mean, I walked around the Barstool office. I've been told I gas up too many people. I think it's Caleb says I say it too often. I'm like, dude, I love that shirt, bro. I love those sneakers. Hey, your hair looks great today, brother. I go around because that's something we talked about on KFC Radio, where I think stereotypically and traditionally speaking, I do think times are changing. Men don't compliment men enough.
Oh, you're like absolutely right.
It's like growing up, you could count on your hand the time someone said they liked your shirt in school or someone said you dress nice, despite the fact that little 7-year-old.
And when you did, you felt like a million bucks, dude.
You remembered it for years. For years, you remembered that. You remember that time someone gave you a hug for no reason. And it is just, it's been something that for years now that I've been making a conscious decision, conscious effort, to try and be better and be like, hey, you know what? If I like that haircut, if I like that shirt, and Chop, by the way, I thought it earlier and I didn't say it, so I'm not practicing what I preach. I love that sweatshirt.
Thank you. It's a fantastic sweatshirt. I love it. It's probably my favorite one that I have in the mix. But you're right. Compliments whenever I was younger, because I was so insecure, because I was real skinny. Like I didn't grow really until I was probably 16, 17. When I was a freshman and sophomore in high school, I was like 5'2", 5'3", and super skinny. I thought I was going to be very, very small because everybody in my family is small. My mom's 5'2". My dad was like 5'5½", 5'6". My tallest grandparent on either side is 5'4". And then I'm 6', 200 pounds. I don't know how that happened. Like that, there's nobody else in my family, like my immediate family, that's even close to my size. Like, well, I look like fucking Christoph Porzingis when I'm standing with my family in pictures. It's ridiculous. My older sister is 4'10 and a half.
What?
And she's older than me. Yeah, she's older than me, 4'10 and a half.
That's bananas.
Mm-hmm. Very, very short. So when I got compliments, it wasn't often because I felt so like I was, and I think that's the reason why I was funny too, because I was small and I needed people not wanting to beat me up. Yeah. So I came to school and my crush named Kristen Hampton, she came up to me and she was like, your outfit looks great today. I was wearing silver Billabong board shorts and a shirt that I got from the thrift store that was tan with only black letters that said, there's no place like Portland, Oregon. I said while I was standing there talking to her outside of our home met class, I was like, Kristen, this compliment means so much to me. Every day for a year, I'm going to wear this on every Wednesday. And I did it. Every single Wednesday, I wore that same exact outfit, no matter the temperature.
Thank you, Kristen. Kristen,
yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. She gassed me up. I was like, you know what? You like this? I'm going to make you see it every Wednesday. And I did it for like 2 years until I grew some. And we'll do one last one and then we'll bring back the next week. The spiritual gift of faith. is not to be accused of the saving faith. All Christians have been given the saving faith, but not received this special gift. This word is, it carries the notion of confidence, certainty, trust, and assurance of a certain object of faith, where people come to you whenever they need some reassurance and they need to know that what they're doing is valuable and it's believable, that you have the faith and community where people believe in you.
I would say this is not a gift I have.
Yeah, I think this one, you know, definitely doesn't. My wife does not have the spiritual gift of faith. She thinks everything is going to fall apart. Anything that could possibly go wrong, she's like, well, that's it. This is the end of it. Like if I have a blog, that doesn't, if I write a blog and it doesn't end in the little top five right away, she's like, he's probably getting fired.
Okay, if that's the example, then I do have the gift of faith. But it is not really, it doesn't really work in the way kind of you explained it. It's, I have the gift of like, it doesn't matter. So who cares? Like I'm, we were talking about
the gift of apathy.
Yeah. But it is like apathy is a way that I describe it a lot, but it's also just not, I think about it like, it's not apathy. It's just like, I see the future. Like I know the people who stress over those little things. Like I just know, like it just,
we're going to get to that one. That's prophecy.
I have that one then. Cause it's like, we were talking about it.
That's probably the most cocky one to say that you have. If you go out and say, I heard on TikTok, this guy was like, I'm a prophet. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's the most cocky thing I've ever heard.
But it's so simple to be a prophet when you know so many decisions you make just don't matter. And to stress over them and to have anxiety over them, it is crazy. Cause it is, there are so few things you do in this life that will matter in, it's something my therapist taught me, the 10-10-10 rule. Will it matter in 10 days? Will it matter in 10 months? Will it matter in 10 years? And then assign your level of anxiety or care over
the things that are 10 years matter are so little.
It's so, dude, if you even in 10 days, there's so few things that are going to matter in 10 days that you're like, what am I stressing about?
And that's what happens. Like if you, for one of us, if you have a controversial opinion on Twitter and people are dragging you about it and you're like, it can feel very overwhelming. Like when you're in the midst of that and everybody's coming at you, you're like, holy shit, man. But then you were like 10 days from now, nobody's going to remember this happened at all.
And in that, when you're in that storm, it's really hard to make that record, to have that recognition.
Jeffrey Tobin, 10 months from now, like Jeffrey Tobin, the CNN guy.
Yeah.
Rough 10 days.
And it's impossible to be like, this will go away one day because the rain is the rain's so hard, the thunder's so loud. But then like you have to just like realize in 10 days no one will know this happened. And in 10 months absolutely no one will. There might be a few tweets in 10 days. In 10 months no one's going to have a fucking clue.
I heard this, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm going to repeat it because I think it's fascinating. There's only two things on Earth right now, two structures on Earth that have a likelihood of being here in 10,000 years. Two things. Okay. Can you guess what they are?
I mean, I would guess the pyramids. And God, I don't know. The Great Wall of China?
Close. That was my first. Both of those were my guesses, too. You got one of them in the pyramids. The other one is Mount Rushmore.
Ah, really?
Yeah. 10,000 years, that can be there. Because I could see the faces getting, like, flattened out.
Well, it happened here in New England. The Man of the Mountain in New Hampshire. And it eventually that was a natural one. It wasn't carved into the mountain. And it just kind of looked like a little Man in the Mountain. And then one day his face just fell off.
It said because of the way that the winds usually go where Mount Rushmore is, it doesn't get a lot of wind on the face of the mountain where the founding fathers' faces are. So that one will be here 10,000 years. And so will the pyramids. And that's it. Like really? The Great Wall of China, they said that will probably be gone in like 500 or 600 years. Like if it was left, and this is all like if you just leave it, like if everybody left Earth, everything else would collapse and crumble. Can you imagine, dude? I would love to see it. Like if we knew, like, let's say I have the ability to see whatever I want to, like I'm Bran from fucking Game of Thrones where I automatically can see everything. Watching something like Manhattan crumble like when nobody lives there and takes care of these buildings would be amazing. Like that would be, it would be so, like knowing nobody's hurt and watching everything collapse would be like, holy shit.
Yeah, that would be cool. So,
and I wish there, people always fret about being the last person on Earth. Besides missing my family, I would love that. I mean, the amount of dumb shit I would do, like, I'm like, well, I'm going to die soon. I'm just going to do so much fun stuff. I would be going to like Range Rover dealerships by the beach, driving those fuckers like in the water and seeing how far deep I could get. Be like, oh, got to pop out. Let's go get another one. Yeah. I just be doing the dumbest shit. Like, oh, look at nobody's manning that aircraft carrier. I'm going to take that for a spin. Everything. I'd be like, where's the nuclear codes? I'm about to give fucking Russia the what for. Like, if nobody else is there, I'm just setting off nuclear bombs.
Give it the what for.
And then uploaded it to fucking YouTube and only watching one person watch it. Be like, this is the end. If a nuclear bomb only gets one view on YouTube, this is the end. And I think that's it. We got a bunch to go through. I think we are figuring out that so many people like us, you have spiritual gifts, even if you don't realize it. We need to use our gifts more.
Yeah, we have a really good amount of spiritual gifts, that's for sure. So far, we'll see what the rest of them are like.
Some of them I don't want, I'll tell you that. Like, I don't really want the gift of service, like where I'm at, I want to do things for people. Get that one out of my face.
Ass.
Oh, do you know what your, before we go, do you know what your love language is?
Yeah, I think we actually done this on the show.
Mine is- Did which, we? Which
you found funny. Mine is gifts. I like presents.
Yeah, I like that. I think mine is a combination. Mine is definitely physical touch. Like if
that's my least favorite one.
Yeah, I know. I love holding hands. Like if just yesterday, because my wife's is the opposite. She's probably more like you. And yesterday she came up and she was like, can I give you a hug and a kiss? And I was like, in the middle, it's the fucking Wednesday. Like, what are we? yeah you could have a hug, and it made my day. Like I felt like I was skipping, I was walking through shun, I felt like a little lad who was getting some berries and cream. All right, that's it. We'll be back for more spiritual gift talk next week. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Peace.